Hello and welcome to On Tour with Sport 24, the podcast that explores the greatest sporting cities from right around the world. For this episode, so happy to say this, we're in Los Angeles. This is what's coming up.
8 World Cup matches for FIFA in 2026. We will host our second Super Bowl in 2027. And then in 2028, we will be the largest swimming venue that the Olympics have ever had their competitions in.
So the obvious question is, how does this turn into a swimming venue? What's it like to wear a jersey and play?
It's like Superman going into a telephone booth and coming out as Superman.
What was your first impressions when you came out here?
You was off playing there.
There was Sonny over there. Good guy.
Come on! He's gone shy.
Jump to the club.
If you're coming to stop at the Hilton and you want to play a game of pickleball or paddle, can they ask for you?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, if they beat me, I'll give them a free room for one night.
Oh, really?
You can put that on there.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Sport 24, we'd like to welcome you to Los Angeles.
That's all to come, but we're going to start in a place that's already added an iconic shape to the LA skyline in recent years. Now, it might not have a lot of history just yet, but being about a 20-minute drive from Los Angeles International Airport, it is perfectly placed to take advantage of the FIFA World Cup 2026, the Super Bowl and Olympics. They're all coming to town in the next few years. So this is the award-winning SoFi Stadium. Opened in 2020, on a game day, up to 100,000 people can get into the stadium just behind me. It's an impressive place to be. So let's have a chat with one of the people who's in charge of it all, Otto Benedict. Otto, what an unbelievable venue.
Welcome to SoFi Stadium.
I couldn't get my head around it, because the most interesting thing for me is when you drive here and you just see it in the distance, it's like this kind of mammoth great big venue, and then when you get inside you think, I can't possibly be any more impressed, and then you are.
SoFi Stadium is truly a magnificent place. There's so much about this stadium that you do not see anywhere else in this country, let alone globally. So this is a true destination for sports, entertainment, and everything in between, and we're really excited to be able to showcase our building.
Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. There's loads I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about the NFL, about all the different events that are going to be here, the Olympics, the World Cup. I just want to start, what is it used for on a day-to-day basis, and what's the kind of the bread and butter?
Yeah, SoFi Stadium is really unlike any other place. We are an NFL stadium. We are the largest NFL stadium at 3.1 million square feet, and we are only one of two stadiums in this country that hosts two tenant teams, so the Los Angeles Rams and Los Angeles Chargers play here. But unlike a normal stadium that's doing primarily football or soccer or even baseball, we have so much more that happens here. We are a tour program that runs through here, so almost 365 days a year, we're running a tour program through this building. We'll do it before our football games, so fans are seeing the behind-the-scenes actions of what goes on to put on a football game. We host concerts. We host a lot of concerts here, and there's no better place in Los Angeles to hear an amazing concert in this building. Sporting events of all kinds, soccer. We do Monster Jam. We do WrestleMania. There's no limit to what we do. And then on top of all of that, we have an entire special events program. So your non-ticketed events, whether that's big corporate hospitality type events, high school proms, birthday parties, celebrity celebrations, all of that happens here. And we're just one part of a mammoth campus. We're 298 acres here in Los Angeles. So YouTube Theater sits on our campus. We have a 400,000 square foot commercial office building, 400,000 square feet of retail. Our hotel is under development, opening next year. Studio project. So there is so much more that goes on here than just a sports stadium.
I just heard birthday parties, and I just thought, I need to get a friend who's having a birthday here, that this can be the place that I come to for a birthday party.
We can set that up for okay. you. I think we're going to make that happen.
That's amazing. The thing that you really kind of appreciate when you walk in is like all the screens and the colours and things like that. It must just be, the idea of just setting this up must be an absolute feat in itself.
Yeah, you know, part of the great things that SoFi Stadium can do is the technology and what you see behind us right now. The main thing, the big TV in the building, if you will, our infinity screen, center hung, it's 70,000 square feet of true 4K LED. Over 1 million pixels sit inside there. It's a four-story tall building being hung in the middle of our building. And when that thing is on and you're sitting in here, whether, no matter what the event is you're watching, it is very captivating. Your eyes are drawn to it. You look at it and you're mesmerized by what happens there. And it just adds to everything else that's going on around us. The technology we've put in here, from the signage and the fascia boards you see, to help push and create content that draws the viewer and the guest into the experience that's here, to the amount of technology we use, whether that's our Wi-Fi system, huge Wi-Fi system that allows you to not only download but upload everything you want to your social channel so that you can be a part of what you're doing here and show the world what you're going on. It's just, it's an endless thing that just lets us, every time you go around a corner in here, you find something new. It's incredible.
Let's talk about the NFL. The difference between the two fans, what's it all like for people that are obviously aware of the NFL but might not know the nuances between the two clubs? Can you tell us a bit about it, what it's like?
Yeah, you know, the Los Angeles Rams, they were here before, many years back. They played down in Anaheim and they'd been in Los Angeles. Of course, they moved to St. Louis and came back. So I think there's definitely a history to the Los Angeles Rams. When you think about them, the Chargers, San Diego team, had come up and moved up here. They played down at Dignity Health Sports Park for a number of years while SoFi Stadium was under construction. So you've got two really great fan bases that are here. I think when you think about the Rams, they've definitely got the Los Angeles history behind them. And the Chargers are now starting to really build themselves up. They've got a great coach. They've got a great team this year. And so I think as they continue their process through here, they're going to have a great fan base that grows. They just opened their training center in El Segundo, just a few miles away from here. So they're really starting to put a foothold here in Los Angeles. The Rams, they've got their development up in Woodland Hills, and so that's a really big opportunity for them. So I think we've created this really cool environment, which the two teams can be competitive, which is great. We want to see that. And then they're also bringing their own unique spin to the building.
Can I ask you a potentially geeky question?
Please.
So another episode of this podcast, which you can watch on YouTube now and you can listen to wherever you listen to your podcast, we went to Milan. And now, obviously, you'll be more than aware of the San Siro. And you've got Inter Milan and AC Milan, two massive clubs in their own right. When they play each other, they'll have their own end of the stadium. I know that the Rams and the Chargers played each other in August 2015 in a preseason friendly. How does it work here? What's it like?
It's interesting. Whoever that home team is that year, it alternates back and forth. I think that's where you see more of that fan base coming in here. It's pretty evenly matched. We don't have to separate fan clubs, so that's good. Everybody can behave themselves and enjoy it. But it's always a great kind of kickoff to the preseason to have that two home teams in here going at it and seeing who can one up the other guy. It's a good event.
Sometimes when you do a podcast like this, you have to ask quite difficult questions that can be difficult for the person answering that question, but also for you to ask that question. So forgive me in advance. But which is the best tailgate, Rams or Chargers?
Ooh, you know, that is a really great question. I will tell you that the Rams have brought their tailgate experience this year onto our campus. And I had a chance to go through that last home game. It looked pretty awesome. So now the next Chargers game, I'm going to take a little spin through theirs and see. We'll be able to tell you who's got the better deal.
Have you thought about, when you obviously give up doing this, about being a politician? Because you sat expertly on the fence at that point and you didn't give an answer. I'm too polite to really pin you down for that.
I was afraid you were going to ask me who was the better team.
I've got
an answer for that if I need to answer that one. That answer is whoever's home that day is who the best team is.
Good. So. I like it. So that's obviously the NFL. Let's talk about the World Cup, because obviously that is going to be a huge event worldwide. How are you preparing for that, and what do you think that's going to be like?
Yeah, the preparations for the World Cup have been happening with us for a number of years now. This stadium was always designed from the beginning to host a World Cup size pitch. We understood what FIFA's requirements were, and so that's what we built here. Over the last 25 plus years, FIFA has purpose-built stadiums in the countries that have hosted them. So they've had the ability to kind of get the specifications that they want as they were going through their event. Now that we're here, 11 US cities, the Mexican cities and the Canadian cities that are hosting, you're gonna have a difference in what's designed already in the stadium, and you just can't go and purpose build that. So they've had to make some concessions and adjust what they needed for us. And it's been a great partnership with FIFA. They understand what we can do. We understood what they needed. So we're an indoor building. We have a roof structure. But by design, we are technically an outdoor building. we're naturally aspirated, so natural air movement comes through here. But because of our roof structure, we can't grow grass like you would do in a normal stadium. So we have an artificial NFL field. So we had to meet FIFA's requirements, which was to put in a natural grass, fully irrigated, full drainage, full vacuum ventilation system, all of those specs that they want to have. We had to go and design that and fit that into this building. So we spent a lot of time working with a lot of people from around the country to make sure that, one, we had the right grass species, which FIFA had spec'd for us. We have the irrigation system. We have our vacuum ventilation system. And we're basically building a, for lack of a better term, like Lego squares, a permavoid that allow us to raise the pitch, put in a sand zone, put in the grass, have irrigation and all of that, that will live on top of our field. And then we'll have the artificial lighting system that comes in to be able to keep that grass growing. So we did all of that test work in 25. We hosted about three different soccer matches on there. We had the CONCACAF Nations League, two doubleheader matches in there. We hosted the U.S. women's team in here for a game. So we gave it about a 60-day period to really test it and understand what it did. We had some staff football games out there as well. We had people running around it. We wanted to give it as much wear and tear to really make sure it would respond the way we wanted to. All of that was very successful, turned out exactly how FIFA wanted to. And FIFA's been working with us hand in hand through every single step of that way. So they know what we're doing. They're approving of what we're doing. So now we've got that plan in place. So very shortly, it's only a couple months away, we'll come back through here when the football season ends and then now put the entire package back into the building and be ready to turn it over for FIFA.
I don't think we kind of can really show, and you can really appreciate, I didn't until I came here, just how perfectly located this is, because the airport is without traffic, which I appreciate is a very rare occurrence here in LA. In 10 minutes you can be at the airport, and the campus that this sits on, as you mentioned, there's so much going on here. It's, if you're a football fan and you're coming across the World Cup, I'm excited for you, because you can land in here, go and see your team where they're playing here, and then in 10 minutes time you can be on another plane going somewhere else. It's like, it's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah. When you think about this campus, you know, these 298 acres, to be in a place like this in Los Angeles, so well located to LAX, to be in the South Bay, so you're very close to all of the freeway access, the public transportation, which are in Los Angeles has been growing, and they've been improving that infrastructure, is on a upward trend. We have a lot of that around us. To your point, you could fly in here, watch a game, get back on a plane, fly to the next city and be ready to welcome the team that's going there. So the logistical benefits of what we do here and where we're situated are incredible, and it helps us. And to your point, that, you know, one of the things I think is very unique and special about SoFi Stadium and where we're located, you have the ability to come here, watch an NFL football game this Sunday. You can then go to a concert or a basketball game at Intuit Dome. You can catch one, a concert at Kia Forum right next to us. You can do an entire experience here and then fly out and go somewhere else. So we just have a lot around us that is so unique to us. You're not going to find that somewhere else.
We can't talk about sporting events and not talk about the Olympics, because I appreciate that you do some amazing things here, but the Olympics, when that rolls into town, that is going to be the biggest sporting event in the world. 2028 is LA. You've already got one eye on that, because you're playing a big role in that as well, aren't you?
We are. Right now, we are the swimming venue. So when you think about this building and what it's going to do in the next 3 years, 8 World Cup matches for FIFA in 2026. We will host our second Super Bowl in 2027. And then in 2028, we will be the Olympic swimming venue. And so when you look out here behind us, there will be a competition pool and then a warm-up pool and a whole bunch of infrastructure built around that. And this will be the largest swimming venue that the Olympics have ever had their competitions in. And it's going to be an incredible place to see it transform. You know, we are working with them on our role in opening ceremonies and those different elements. There's a lot to be determined around that. But when you just think about that core event, swimming, and the records that should be set and broken and everything that happens in here, it's going to be an electric experience.
So the obvious question is, how does this turn into a swimming venue?
It's actually pretty impressive. The technology has been used already in the Olympics. Most recently, we saw the same kind of system for the qualifiers at Lucas Oil Stadium before the last Olympics. So it's a modular pool system that gets built on top of our field that you would see out here, and then it gets decked around it. So we don't have to dig a hole. We don't have to worry about filling in a pool of any kind of like that. There's a system that will come in. The Olympics have their vendors that do that. They will build those pools. They will build everything around it, and it will look seamless. And when you walk in here, you won't know that it's necessarily a football stadium. It will feel like a true Olympic swimming venue in the way they've got it designed and planned out. And then after that ends, it all just gets taken apart, broken down, moved on, and then we'll be right back into football very closely right after the Olympics end. So it's going to be wild.
It's been so great to speak to you. Now, whenever we get someone to come on the podcast that lives in the city that we are talking about, the one thing that we insist on, that every single time they have to do, okay? So there's no getting out of this. We ask people for a recommendation from that city. So that can be a cafe, it can be a restaurant, it can be a little place that you go to, like your place where you go and have a nice bit of peace and quiet. What is your one LA recommendation, please, Otto?
So most people don't know this, but there is a...
That's what we like. That's a good start.
This is a Michelin star rated restaurant that is here in Inglewood. Just down the street on Imperial and Yukon is a little tiny place. If you didn't know what you were looking for, you would drive by it. It's called Connie Seafood. C-O-N-I. Connie Seafood. They make the most incredible fish tacos. Southern California, we're a fish taco town. Like, you got to come here. You're getting fish tacos. Connie Seafood is a place that would blow your mind. You'll walk in there not expecting what you're going to get, and to have a Michelin star rated experience is just incredible. It's small, it's tiny, it's probably no bigger than the room we're sitting in right now, but it's awesome. And I would tell you, sticking with that same theme, here in the stadium when you come here, Baja Fish Tacos, the most incredible thing we have on our menu. It is awesome, and people, if you've never even had it, try it. You're going to love it. You're going to become you're going to be into fish tacos the rest of your life.
I apologize in advance if now every time you try and go down to Connie's at some point, you can't get in because you spoke about it on Sport 24.
I'm here to support them, so that would be awesome. That would be awesome.
The other thing I need to speak to you about, is there any other like turn of phrase or something that we need to know that if we are coming to LA, maybe someone listening to this, watching this, turns up and they think, oh, do you know what? I need to work out that one phrase that makes people think I'm from around here. Have you got any examples?
If you want to make sure that you sound like a local and that people know that you're a local, then you're going to have the appreciation for our freeway system that we have here that everybody does. So LA has the worst traffic. We say that pridefully. We don't measure things in distance. We measure it in time because it takes so long.
But we've won awards.
Of course. But our freeways, we refer to them as the freeway. So it's the 405 or the 110. And that is the emphasis we put on it. So if somebody's giving you directions and they're telling you take 405 to 110 to this, they're not a local. But when they say the 405 and the 110, then you know you're talking to somebody who knows what's going on.
It's all about the in front of
the.
It.
Absolutely.
It's been an absolute privilege. It's been a pleasure to speak to you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
So thank you very much to the SoFi Stadium for looking after us. It has been absolutely amazing. This is just a beautiful, beautiful stadium. Now to end, I'm going to do one thing very, very well. I'm about to put this ball right in between those posts. First go. Ready? Are you ready? Do you think I'm going to do it? Am I going to do it? Here we go. Was I proud? Absolutely. Have I told everyone about it since? You better believe it. The SoFi Stadium is simply incredible. We're going to be back there later on in the episode to soak up all the atmosphere on game day. The famous LA Rams tailgate. That's still to come. But from an outdoor arena to a sport that's played inside and a basketball team that is one of the most recognisable names in global sport, let alone the USA. We've made our way to the LA Lakers Press Day. So this is a massive event. It's where all the media are invited in from all over the world. Should we show you around? So this is the press conference that's taking place at the moment. I have to be really quiet because you can see there's a conversation going on right at this moment. Over here is a bank of all the different people, all the different media that have come from all over LA, all over America, all over the world to make sure they capture all this. Then this is something a little bit different. This is all the social media videos that get made. So in a minute, people like LeBron James will be coming into the green screen, which is just here, and they'll be doing all those things that, do you know when you see them playing basketball and you see all the different GIFs and memes and stuff like that? That all gets recorded there. And then there's a couple of other different broadcasters which are having conversations with some players over there. It's a big day. Right, first up, let's listen to the man who drew the biggest crowd of the day, NBA legend LeBron James.
Yeah, I mean, the things that still push me is the fact that the love of the game is still high. The love of the process is even higher. So that's what continues to push me to play this game. I mean, it's really that simple. You know, me training and working on my body and trying to get my body as close to 100% as possible every year is something that's like, it's a beautiful thing for me, you know, and just continue to challenge and see how well I can, you know, push myself to, you know, play the game at a high level, recover at a high level, be able to sleep better, mentally prepare, try to stay sharp throughout the course of a long season. And just like the roller coaster of an NBA season, that's all like gratifying towards me, to me, no matter the good, the bad, the ugly. Like I love that process. So I think that's all, it's a bigger, so much that goes into it, you know, more than just, you know, picking up a basketball and shooting it at the rim. My 20-year-old is right over there turning 21 in a week. Like, how could I not feel young? And then, I mean, my wife is beautiful. I look good. I mean, I look at my age as like the wine that I drink. The older wine I drink, the better it is. What's up, BT? So, like, I feel great. I mean, I don't know. I sleep well, I guess.
LeBron has just got this aura about him that he's just hard not to get drawn into. Next up was his teammate, Austin Reeves.
Sport 24. Hiya. Okay. For you, what is it that makes Los Angeles such a special city?
I mean, there's a million different things. Obviously, the Lakers organization is one of those. And, I grew up a Kobe fan, so I was, you know, automatically a Lakers fan. And just for it to come full circle and me to be here, for the fans to treat me the way that they've treated me since day one has been special. Obviously, the year-round good weather that I can go golf is a bonus. Traffic is there's so many, you know, good things. Food's great. When I first came out here, I never thought that I would really enjoy it. But ever since I've been here, it's been like a second home to me.
Press conference is done. It was time to speak to Lakers analyst for Spectrum Sportsnet, Mike Bresnahan. And as you'll hear, our interview was interrupted. If it's going to get interrupted by anyone, it might as well be this person. Three-time NBA champion and Lakers legend, James Worthy. What an amazing center, first of all.
I'll tell you what, I've been doing this for 22 years now, coming to Laker media days. It's always a special kind of a kickoff to the season. It's good to see, I haven't seen a lot of these guys in 6 months since the Lakers season ended a little too quickly after winning only one playoff game. But it's great to see a guy like Luka Doncic, who has obviously worked on his physique. He's ready to go. Even like the backup center, Jackson Hayes, he said to me, I added 20 pounds of strength. So first you got to see the eye test, how's everyone doing? And it's just great to catch up with the personalities, you know, who are going to be the leaders of this team. Obviously LeBron James, no doubt about that. Luka Doncic, and then it's kind of like, who's going to be that third person? Probably Austin Reeves. Always a great spectacle, media day for the Lakers. They are really an international franchise for sure.
This must really show you how much the club has changed in those 22 years, but also it must be really interesting for you to see how it's seen and how it's grown.
Yeah, like I'll tell you what, if you look at the Lakers, like I grew up in the 70s and 80s out here, and they've been the dominant franchise. Maybe Boston also had some pretty good runs in there as well.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're okay, but it's funny. Laker people, they don't talk about the Boston people. In fact, they hate the Celtics, and it's mutual. And of course, you have the Clippers, who moved to Inglewood last year. So, you know, kind of trying to find their footing in L.A., but the Lakers are the franchise. If you were to ask me, name the top franchise in L.A., it's kind of a two-way tie between the Lakers and the Dodgers. I mean, obviously, the Dodgers, a lot of success. They're about to start the playoffs. But the Lakers, you know, Showtime started here in the 70s, long before you were born, I assure you. And just keeps going and going and going. Many, many incarnations of successful championship teams.
You mentioned about how popular they are here in Los Angeles, but mm-hmm. you would argue that the Lakers are one of those clubs, one of those franchises that far surpass being here. They're like one of the teams, I grew up in England, and mm-hmm. when you think of basketball teams, if someone said to me, name one now, if you went onto the streets, most people probably would say the Lakers.
How about that? I mean, I would probably say Man City or Man U, having grown up out here in LA, but there are certain teams you know across the pond, so to speak, and the Lakers have to be that team. It's because they've had so many different winning combinations. In the 70s, you had Magic Johnson, my coworker James Worthy, And then in the 80s, you know, they won a couple in the 80s. And you had Shaq coming on board in the 90s and early 2000s, as well as Kobe Bryant. Now you've got the latest iteration of the Lakers with LeBron James and Luka Doncic. They just won the championship 5 years ago. They don't like going. The Lakers don't like going too long between championships. So, you know, they're going to be a championship contender in my mind. Will they win at all? I guess we'll find out in about, what, 8-9 months? Something like that.
We're obviously here in Los Angeles finding out what makes it such a special sporting city. But when you think about the Lakers and what it means to the city, why do you think it attracts that kind of level of interest?
Showtime. Okay, so again, this started with the late owner of the Lakers, Jerry Buss. He passed about a decade ago. His thing was, this team should be a star-driven team. That's why you want the Magic Johnson. That's why you want James Worthy, who's wearing shades on a workday over there, on air for Spectrum Sportsnet as well. These guys are stars. People know them. Spend a day with a Magic Johnson or LeBron James or a Shaq, and you're going to realize the star power they have in L.A. They transcend just playing basketball for 48 minutes. All right, Shaq would, he'd be in the San Fernando Valley for a bagel when he was a player. Then he'd be over on the west side in Brentwood for lunch. And then he'd be like at a club for you know, after he had dinner at, I don't know, Crustacean or whatever. So he's just, these are guys that they're not just players. They really embrace the town. They become the town. And of course, the late great Kobe Bryant would be part of that as well. He was really a Laker through and through, played every year of his 20-year career here with the Lakers.
I think we've got a special guest joining us as well. Come on in, join us. Join us in the conversation. He's been singing your praises for the last 5-10 minutes.
Anytime I get to do an interview with Mr. Wikipedia here, it's always good.
James Worthy, we were just talking about you and what makes the Lakers special in this town. I was saying how it's ever since the 70s into the 80s, and you had Shaq and Kobe, now you've got LeBron and Luka. Yeah. It's a star-driven team. People really react to the Lakers, don't they?
They do, and I think it all started with Dr. Buss, obviously. When he bought the team, he had a vision of including the industry, which is Hollywood. So he brought that to the forum, and then he, you know, started to get players. Kareem was already here with Jamal Wilkes, but they just didn't have that finishing touch until they got Magic. And then that's when Showtime was created. A different style, a different arena, fans, floor seats, all that type of stuff. Started with Dr. Buss, and the Buss family has just been able to sustain it over time.
Can you put into words what it's like to put that jersey on? Because we were talking about the level of fame that the Lakers have got all around the world. And it's those colors. What's it like to wear a jersey and play?
It's like Superman going into a telephone booth and coming out as Superman. It really is. There's something about that jersey, the purple and gold, the history of great players, starting with, you know, Elgin Baylor and Jerry West and Mike King, Wilt Chamberlain. Then you come all the way up to Kareem and Jamar, all the Hall of Famers that this team has, and the expectation that this city has of the team, it just brings a lot of pressure, a lot of reward when you're able to win, and that's what it's all about. There's nothing comes close to winning. We don't take second place.
What does it feel like up on the wall over there? Is your name and number? What does that feel like to see?
Well, I got that number because Jamal Wilkes had my college number, 52. And so my dad said, Jackie. And I'm like, Jackie who? There's no Jackie in the NBA. It was Jackie Robinson. So I took 42 because of Jackie, and I loved the number. I also was a big fan of Nate Thurman. If you guys are too young for him, but he was a warrior. He wore number 42. And it's I wore it well, and never to be forgotten there.
What's it like to play sport here? Again, we've just been chatting about why it's such a special city, and the people that we've spoken to on this podcast can kind of mention about what it's like to live here. What's it like to play sport and being that center, that focal point?
Well, it's a city of champions. You know, you got the Dodgers, the Lakers, the Raiders were here for a long time, the Rams. So everyone is winners, the Kings even, the Sparks. You know, we're champions. I think every professional team that's been here has probably won a championship. So that's what we're known for. We have great fans all over Southern California, and they pull for their respective teams, whether you're in San Diego or Sacramento or San Francisco. It's all champions. So we love it here. Our fans expect nothing but the best, and we try to give them that.
I won't take up too much of your time. I appreciate that you're obviously a very, very busy man. When you've been here for so long like you have, what makes LA special as a city away from sport?
It's a diversity. It's a diversity of people from many different backgrounds and countries. It's the weather. It's a diversity in food. And the sports teams are amazing. Some great colleges in the area, you know, and so it just has everything you want. You can snow ski and water ski in the same day if you'd like in California. So it just provides everything that, you know, you're probably too young to remember a television show called Fantasy Island, but this is Fantasy LA. You can get anything you want here, you know, food, culture, education, sports. And it's just a great place to live.
It must feel so special to be you in a city like this that's obsessed with sport. Does it feel like when you can walk around with your chest out because of everything you've achieved?
Well, I feel part of it. You know, the fans and the athletes, they're one. You know, you see us in the grocery store, we're just trying to get some toilet paper like everybody else. You know what I mean? So it's just,
I'm a human too.
It's just great. You know, the way they honor us and the way they treat us, and it's all equal and it's all good.
Final question for you, I promise. LeBron, in general, how does he compare to some of the players that you played with? And can you just put it into words just what he's like?
Well, he could have played in any decade. He could have played in the 70s, 80s, played and started in the 90s. He's that good. He's that versatile. He's that knowledgeable and that disciplined. We haven't seen, you know, in my era, we had guys like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who was very disciplined. There were others, but LeBron has, you know, he's written a new book. As far as longevity, he's got Father Time's on the ropes, and that's never happened before. He's got Father Time backing up, so I've never seen that look fresh today in an interview. He and Luka, usually you have, you know, maybe Jordan passing the torch down to Michael, you know, to Kobe. Kobe passes it to, you know, LeBron, but now you have LeBron passing it to Luka, and they're on the same team. That's going to be interesting to watch this year.
It's been an absolute pleasure. All right, you got it. To you. Thank you very much. Right. Living legend. It's not very often that a Hall of Famer crashes your interview, but we'll let him off, I suppose.
You know, absolutely. I mean, that guy's a top 75 player in NBA history. They have teams every 25 years. He was a top 50 player as well 25 years ago. One of my favorite people, no ego. And like I said earlier, a lot of the sports athletes in here, the stars, They don't have egos either. They're out there, like I said, getting soup at Brent's Deli and getting dinner and just having fun with everyone.
We obviously here at the media day for the NBA, and mm-hmm. I want to kind of chat just briefly about it because we were treated to the LeBron show a little bit earlier on. And it's just to sit and watch him is because, to put it into context, if you're not an NBA fan, he is like a living legend of the sport, like a massive, massive, massive name. And to see him at so much ease and the way he interacts with people, it's amazing to see, isn't it? And obviously you were over there, you've interviewed him many times.
Yeah, I mean, he's so... I'm trying to think of the right word, poignant, in just about any interview. I'm usually one of the first guys to talk to him, sometimes the first guy to talk to him after a win or a loss. And he's always very good with the media. That's what's important to me, of course, right? When you're the all-time scorer, leading scorer in any sport, whether it's your football, our hockey, our basketball, that's a big deal. And he carries with it a lot of pressure, but also a lot of grace, if I can use that word to describe him. James is right. He's ready to go. He's going to be 41 in 3 months. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, there are players here today for the Lakers who are half his age. So it's kind of comical that, as James Worthy just said, Father Time is on the ropes. Father Time eventually is going to win. Maybe this is LeBron's last year. Maybe not. We just don't know yet. He'll make that decision, obviously, with his family and close friends and representatives. But it's been a joy to cover him for all these years here in LA.
Thank you so much for your time. There's a couple of things I need to speak to you about before you go. Whenever we get a guest on the podcast, there's two questions that I always ask, okay? So this podcast is all about getting the best of sporting cities around the world, trying to get to know that city a little bit better. So two things we ask you. One is there a phrase or something that gets said that you would only say that if you are from that place? Does that make sense?
Sure. I love LA. There was a song that Randy Newman's, I think he did it in the 80s, when the Lakers started to win a lot of championships with Magic, and your new friend James Worthy, who just crashed our interview. I love LA. It's kind of the catchphrase song. They play it after Laker wins in their arena, when they have championship parades. It's part of that. And like James Worthy kind of alluded to, like, I'm a beach guy. So I live real close to the beach. I can play some beach volleyball. If I get tired of that, I can get in the car, drive a few hours and be skiing. It's unbelievable. There's so much variety here in LA, but I love LA.
Final question, mm-hmm. promise, is if people were coming to, someone was coming to LA for the first time, they were listening to this and they thought, right, do you know what? I need one place to visit, be that a cafe, be that a restaurant, whatever that is. Where do you think they should go?
I mean, Rodeo Drive, right? Don't we all want to see what the rich and famous do at all times of the day?
Is that where you usually are?
No, no. Only when friends come to town, I say, we're going to Rodeo. You've got all the fancy restaurants, all the designer apparel, a couple of jewelers there. You can get yourself a nice watch, you know? Yeah. I've been saving up for one for about 20 years now. Haven't been able to buy one yet from any of those jewelers. But Rodeo definitely has the star power and kind of the awe factor. It's definitely a little ostentatious, but either there or one of the beach towns, you know, Malibu, Santa Monica, or down close to where I live, Manhattan Beach, because I think LA really is primarily a beach town.
I've got a friend that's quite well known in LA Lakers circles. He's a Hall of Famer, so I can have a word with him if you like, and he might be able to put in touch with someone with a watch.
Hey, let's bring James back over here. We'll both hit him up for a little cash, right? You need a loan for a watch on Rodeo, that's for sure.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Great interview.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry about James.
So as you know by now, when it comes to the tourist top five, we like to tell you about the places that are a little bit off the beaten track. We don't want to suggest anywhere that everyone else will. We like to find somewhere a little bit special. And with that in mind, here's what we've got for you. Our suggestions for things to do in Los Angeles. At number five, I'm starting with Manhattan Beach. It's just the perfect Californian beach town. It's only about 10-15 minutes away from the airport, and it's pretty much what you think of when you picture LA in your mind's eye. Brilliant bars and restaurants. The pier is great too. At number four, it's a location that gets mentioned to us more than any other by the locals. It's a must visit when you're in LA, COSM. It's a sports bar come kind of immersive experience with a huge, almost like wraparound screen, which make you feel like you're at the court or pitch side. It's worth booking in advance because it can be very, very popular. Number three, if you want the best view of the city, it doesn't come much better than this. The Getty, it's up towards Bel Air, so on a good day, you can see for miles. And it's free to get in, and apart from the view, there's so much to see in and around it. It is definitely worth a visit. Number two, you're going to be going to Beverly Hills and Rodeo Drive. You just are. It's about as an LA experience as you can get. Surprisingly easy to park as well. Bit of extra information for you from On Tour with Sport 24. So I'm going to give you a place to eat, which is almost perfect. It's called Earth Cafe. The food is next level. The portion sizes are significant. That's the only way I can describe it. And you might even spot a few celebrities as well. When you're walking back to the car, by the way, call in at Beverly Hills Cookies for a little snack when you're on one of your trips and you're driving. Number one, though, for the proper American experience, the baseball. The Angels, for me, is the best option. It's easy to get to. It's really straightforward to get tickets. Full range of prices as well. It's the full American experience. Fireworks, the lot. It's one of the oldest active ballparks, and the atmosphere is brilliant. On a warm night with the sunset over Southern California, it is a night spent right in LA. So that is my tourist top five for LA. I'd love to know if you end up going to any of the places that we mentioned in that, or if you've got any of your own ideas that you think other people should know about. If you get in touch with us on social media, it's really, really simple. All you've got to do is search, you ready for this, Sport24 on any of the platforms, and then you'll find us on there. Or if you're going to post, so we find it, use the hashtag MySport24. So hashtag MySport24. So we've made our way to the northeast of the city, to the LAFC training ground. Now, in comparative terms, this football club's a bit of a baby. They only played the first game in 2018. But since then, though, they've attracted some huge names in the world of football. I'm talking about people like Chiellini, Gareth Bale, Olivier Giroud. Now, though, they are the home of players like Hugo Lloris and Son Heung-min. Let's go and have a chat with the players who've just finished training. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. How are you finding LA?
Yeah, it's been great. Obviously, a big change from Watford and Preston, but it's been brilliant. And I knew it was going to be good before I came out, but it's really, you know, exceeded my expectations, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, what was your kind of idea of what you thought it would be like, and how did it compare?
I think it's the typical, maybe stereotypical, idea of, MLS and You know, I think in years gone by, a lot of people have seen it as, you know, as a lesser league or a retirement league. But I think times have changed. The conversations that I've had with people at the club, people out with the club that have experienced what it's like here, you know, I think the times have definitely changed, and it's moving in the right direction. And yeah, I've loved it so far.
What about LA as a city?
Yeah, it's been brilliant. It's been brilliant. We've had that many games. I've not had the chance to explore that much, but you know, around this kind of area here, it's been really good.
Yeah, and obviously it's very similar weather being back home, isn't it?
Yeah, I've not seen a drop of rain for the last 2 months, so growing up in Edinburgh and Scotland, I'm definitely getting used to this.
Are you just seeing it on FaceTime or like your videos from your family at home and be like, oh yeah, I remember that weather?
Yeah, well, I kind of FaceTime my mates when I'm playing golf and they're stuck in the house looking out the window, I think wishing they could play golf. But it's obviously a different level out here in terms of that and the lifestyle. So yeah, I'm loving it.
When it comes to LA as a sporting city, because obviously that's what the podcast's all about, you obviously, I imagine, growing up where you grew up, you'll have heard all about LA and all the sports that happen here. When you first turned up, did you realise they would all be as sport mad as they are, the people that live here?
I think everybody in, I think Americans want to be the best, you know, at everything. And that translates to how passionate they are from every sport, from college football to, you know, I was watching ESPN and I'm seeing, you know, like youth games of like under 15s, 14s of baseball, and the it's live on television and there's crowds at it, and I just think it's brilliant. I think probably the next step is to try and get the whole country, which it is evolving, but the whole country that passionate about, you know, football or soccer. And you know, I think with obviously the World Cup coming out here, it'll give everyone an idea of how, or the new generation of how passionately everybody else sees soccer or football. So yeah, it'll be good.
I love how you keep saying soccer or
yeah,
football.
No, you need to adapt, man. You need to adapt.
You can speak all the
well,
languages.
Well, listen, nobody can understand what I'm saying here, no. So...
yeah. Do they keep looking at your chest for subtitles?
Yeah, I think they just all just agree with me anyway, yeah, and then, like, I'll ask them a question, and they'll say, oh, sorry, I didn't get that, but nah. Nobody understood me when I was in London either, so yeah. I'm used to it.
It's okay, you're fine. When we talk about sporting destinations and sporting cities, they don't get much better than LA, do they? What other sports have you been following?
My favorite sports out here are basketball and ice hockey. American football now. Okay. Like I started watching football this season too. And yeah, so I would say these three.
Okay. And if you weren't going to be a footballer, which one do you think you'd be?
Hopefully a basketballer.
Basketball, okay, yeah, fine. How have you found all the kind of the soccer aspect in LA? How's it worked for you? What's it been like?
It's been amazing, I think, also because LA has a big mix of different cultures. I think that helps the soccer here just because it's such a popular sport all around the world. And with so many cultures coming here together, I think LA is just a perfect melting spot for all that. And that's why soccer here is way bigger than expected.
How much did you know about LA and the sporting scene before you came out of here?
Actually, not that much.
Did you
not? Okay. No, I mean, I knew a little bit about the club, but I've never been to LA before. I thought it would be a very glamorous, fancy city, but in the end, it's just I don't want to say normal place because it's like there's so much stuff to do as well. But it's just a nice place, and not only like Hollywood, Beverly Hills, but also like other cool places.
What was your first impressions then when you came out here?
You're not playing, eh?
That's. Do you want to explain who just shouted in the background then, in case you picked up?
There was Sonny over there. Good guy.
You're not playing. Why are you doing interview?
He wants to talk about that. Get him out here. He'll be fine. He'll be okay.
Come on.
He's gone shy. So we'll talk about him while he's here now. Do you want to explain what it's like to play with Son?
Oh, it's amazing. He's a very, very nice guy, great player as well, and he's helping us so much on the field, but also off the field. He's been just amazing, like fitting in the team so quick. And for me personally, he's a nice guy as well, because he's the only guy who can speak German on the team as well. So that feels good sometimes too. And like I said, he's an amazing player, and he's going to help us a lot.
Did you realize how good he was until you played with him?
Yeah,
I suppose you appreciate it differently, don't you, when you play with
I think that's the biggest difference. Like, of course, I knew he's a good player before. But then just seeing him every day and appreciating having him on the team and being able to combine with him on the field is just a lot of fun. And yeah, also off the field, like I said, I'm enjoying having him here.
Yeah, in terms of how long the football club's been around, it's still a relatively new team, 2018 when it kind of first started. Were you surprised at how popular soccer was in Los Angeles when you got here?
Yes, I've been very surprised, especially by the fan base in our stadium. To be honest, I didn't expect a lot coming here from Germany, because in Germany, soccer is obviously pretty popular, and we have a big fan base, fan culture over there. But coming here just surprised me so much, and I love our fans. They are going crazy, 90 minutes long every single game, and it's amazing playing at home and even sometimes away. Like, even if you play so, like, here it's so far away, like away trips are just different here. Even the way we get all the support we can get, and it's amazing.
How are you finding calling it soccer?
Weird sometimes. No, I had to get used to it, but now I think I'm pretty used to it.
Yeah, okay. And what about cleats? Where do you stand on cleats?
Cleats is how I learned to say the word.
Oh, is it? So, okay. Yeah, that's right. It's not a big thing for you then?
No, cleats is not a problem.
I really want to talk to you because I think it's going to be really interesting for you when it comes to the World Cup, because obviously it's going to be such a massive thing for the area. It's going to be such a massive thing for the country. How do you think that'll pan out when it comes to 2026?
I think it's going to be a very big deal. I think the US in general are a very attracting country. So I think there will be a lot of tourists coming to the US, and I'm just hoping that they bring all the energy they can to the States, and that it's going to be a very, like, cool event all over the States. And then especially coming to LA, I think there will be games at SoFi, which is the biggest and nicest stadium out here. So I'm hoping for a lot of cool energy here.
You'd only been really young when the World Cup was in Germany, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have been very old.
I was 7 years
old.
Okay. Yeah.
So you've got no memories of the World Cup?
Not
there,
really,
no.
Okay. Not
what
really.
About your friends and family? What do they say about it? I imagine, like, your parents and your...
Yeah, I mean, it's been an experience for everyone, especially, like, I lived in Nuremberg back then, which was one of the host cities. So there was some stuff going on there, but I can't remember too much, to be honest.
And when we look at where we are now, where we're talking to you, this is probably going to be one of the places which hosts a country or hosts a nation for the World Cup. The facilities are amazing, aren't they?
Yes, yeah, our facility is amazing. I think pretty much all the MLS teams have amazing conditions to train and work at. And yeah, if anyone's coming here, I'm going to be happy to watch them. Yeah.
What have your friends said at home in Germany about the World Cup and it being here?
A couple of them called me already and were trying to come stay in my place. I think the World Cup in general is just a very exciting tournament for everyone. And I hope we'll have some nice games here, and hopefully I can represent the US as well.
I need to talk to you just finally about whenever we get a guest to come on the podcast who lives in the city that we're talking about, we always get a recommendation. So I need your very best cafe, restaurant, bar. Where do you think that people that listen to this podcast or watch this podcast, if they're coming to LA, where do they need to go to?
Ooh, restaurants, there's so many good
ones. I know, this is why it's a good question.
There's so many good ones.
This is why it's good.
There's a very good restaurant called Kobe's in Santa Monica. Okay. I really like that. Then what I always show my friends from home is Korean barbecue.
Nice.
Korean barbecue is something
we
don't have.
Yes.
I'm not a big coffee drinker, but there's one spot called Be Bright. Yeah. They have like a coconut latte, I think.
Nice.
That's good.
Nice to hear from some of the players. So this is where LAFC train, but they play the home games at the BMO Stadium, which is about 12 miles away. And that is where we're going next. We've managed to arrange ourselves a little private tour. Located in the Exposition Park neighbourhood of LA, it is an incredibly special place. The voice of LAFC, announcer Max Bretos, has agreed to be our guide for the day.
We are at beautiful BMO Stadium, which seats about 22,000. It's the home of LAFC, also Angel City in the NWSL, the Women's League. It's been built ahead of the 2018 season, which was season one, and since has been filling up with a lot of memories and ghosts, and it's been a wonderful home, one of the great atmospheres in Major League Soccer.
What's been impressive in the time that we've been with LAFC is the quality of the facilities. So we were speaking, obviously, when we were at the training ground, and that is top spec. This is fantastic as well, too.
Yeah, it's my favorite part about this is it's state-of-the-art, it's comfortable, but it is really human scale. So you can start at one end, and you can get around here in literally 5 to 6 minutes, see your friends, soak it all in, get in and get out. It has got all the creature comforts, and it's just cozy. So really enjoy it.
And how does this compare to other stadiums in the league, then, do you think?
Well, most of the league, it's almost a prerequisite at this point. If you're a club, and it's a very, look, our league is in diapers, there's no doubt about it, but most clubs come in and they are required to have a soccer-specific stadium, as they call it. There are 30 teams, I'd say the majority have that. There's more in the works. So it is, there's a wide variety of stadiums. This one, attendance-wise, most of them fit in between the 20 to 24,000. The Galaxy is about 27,000. And then you have the next group of 3 or 4 teams that play in NFL stadiums, which you can see 40 or 50,000. But this is the sweet spot. I think in a perfect world, maybe like a few more seats in here on those demanding days. But I think 22,000 is the right, and it creates a great atmosphere, and it creates a great home field advantage for LAFC. They win a lot more than they lose here.
So this is obviously pitch level. Should we go and have a look around?
Oh, we'll show you to the field club.
So we've come in from the pitch level, but this is nice. I like it in here.
Oh, man, this is where you have complete access. It's called the Field Club. And if you are here, it's a very premium area. You can watch the players roll out, take the field. I mean, you can touch them, you can smell them. And then you follow them in to these premium seating. It is as close to the game as you can possibly get. This is very lively. It's where the who's who comes. The beautiful people of Los Angeles. That's just an expression. But you'll see some celebrities here. And what they're, as we'll go through the stadium, they're trying to capture different parts of the city. This is like that old Hollywood vibe, like you're the old speakeasy. And enjoying that. So little parts of LA to create a comfort for the supporters, the fans here on a regular basis.
So this is flashy enough. But in here,
we got another level.
Oh, okay. I imagine, again, I don't want to ruin anything, but this feels like the kind of place that I'd find you.
Oh, not quite. I'd love to get in there. I get too nervous to walk in here because you will see this is where the owners are. We have an extensive ownership group, but when they have their special guests and we talk about special, you'll walk in here. I mean, just going through my memory, there was games here where it was Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, Leonardo
really?
DiCaprio. Ex-players come here all the time. There was Kevin De Bruyne. He was in shorts and sandals just relaxing here. Kylian Mbappe. So they come here and they roll out the red carpet. So this is the director's lounge. And this is the speakeasy element. So this is like where they can have their own space. Will Ferrell, who's one part of the ownership group, he's here with entertaining a whole lot. We'll talk a little bit about the north end. That is where the Rabid 3252, who create the cadence, who create the soundtrack for the club. It is what separates the fan experience from this building to anywhere else in American sports, quite frankly.
What's the big game?
The big game when the Galaxy are in town. But there's been, I mean, just in 2025, the success of the club, it's been a cavalcade of big games. This year they played Club America, which is the biggest team in Mexico, for a spot in the Club World Cup. This place was absolutely mad. They played in their international competition. They played Inter Miami and Messi, another packed house. So, you know, I'd like to pick out a game or two, but I guess supporting this club, you are used to big games. You'll have at least 5 to 10 a year.
Final question for now is, since a certain player from South Korea has joined the club, is it a sellout every match, pretty much?
Yes, it's been a small sample size for that, but it certainly has. I think what's been amazing with in our league, you're looking for, it's a very local league. You're looking for teams and players that would make the neutrals tune in. So LAFC has certainly reached that with Son Heung-min. And the reason I know that, when they played at San Jose, which play in about an 18,000-seat stadium, they moved it to the NFL stadium, which is where the 49ers play, and they had 50,000 fans there. So these players know their worth. They come in big numbers to see specifically that player. We had it with Messi, and we're having it with Son Heung-min. Those two are a cut above everyone else. This is trying to capture the beach communities, the Palm Springs. So everywhere it wants to show a little bit of Los Angeles and Southern California. I think they do a pretty good job of it. And again, as we saw, the look of downtown, so you have Hollywood, downtown, the beach cities. It's all covered inside our little stadium.
An egg chair. Oh, you got it. Yeah, a swinging egg chair. Right, come on, take a seat.
All right.
I want to talk to you about how LAFC have been doing. As you mentioned several times now, 2018 was the first time that they played.
I was about to say, you're going to stand the whole time, and
just
I was going to
sit. Just for you. What's it been like? How's it all going?
This is Major League Soccer has a salary cap, so it's very hard to stay above all the others because all the clubs have the same set of rules on how you can compose your team. But LAFC established a standard in year one, and they take it very seriously. So they meet that. They where the salary cap keeps the teams equal, they try and get an edge in any way. They have a thorough coaching staff. They have a scouting department that crosses every continent. They recruited heavily in South America initially, and now we're seeing this movement of European players coming here. And just in this last summer marketplace, we added a player from Korea, a Scot, an Irishman, a Romanian, a Venezuelan. I mean, it's unbelievable. So the width and breadth, the net has been cast very wide. And the European side is interesting because for so long, it was off. Major League Soccer, that was hands-off. The top European players, young players, would go to European clubs. Now they're coming here. MLS is appealing, playing in a stadium like this, playing in a league with a higher level. It seems like it happened overnight. And with regards to LAFC, they're on the front foot. They need a player. They need a certain type. They'll go out and get them, and they have the resources to do it.
Yeah. So for you, it's kind of a sign of how well the league in general and also LAFC are doing, the fact that they can bring in those players from Europe, that we speak to players and they say, well, we could go to a club in the Championship or we could go to a club in the lower
Why
Premier
not come
League.
Here?
Exactly that.
Yeah, it's very cool. And I can understand initially players have to look out for themselves, right? They have to play a certain level. There's so many that have international aspirations. Many years ago, you came to MLS, that would be a detriment to playing for your national team. That doesn't happen anymore. There are players that come here and elevate to their national team, whether their national team is in Central America, South America, and now in Europe. It is it's a sign that the level of play is increasing, and we always hope we could be a top five league in the world. We're not there yet, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
We're going to have to go across and at least look at the pitch from this kind of general
I got to show you where our ultra fans sit.
Oh, of course. I also want to speak to you about the World Cup as well, because I think that hopefully this stadium is going to be included in that in some way. I love as well...
Wait, the World Cup's coming here? I know that. I know, I'm just kidding.
I also love the idea that this, and how beautiful all this is, it could only happen in certain cities. This is such an LA thing, because in certain parts of the world, with the weather, this just wouldn't work.
100%. By the way, in the golden hour where the sun comes up, and this Exposition Park area, the University of Southern California is there, the LA Coliseum, the museums are here. There's a new George Lucas storytelling museum. It looks like a spaceship. It's on the other side here. This is a very important part of Los Angeles. And where it wasn't a visited place before, it's going to become now. And this is one of the anchors, is this stadium. So much to do in this area, whether it's the arts, whether it's music, the Shrine Auditorium, where you can see a concert, or if you want to see sports, this is where you got to come.
FIFA World Cup 26. LA is one of the host cities. It makes sense, and in theory, that this is going to be in some way involved, do you think?
Well, with 48 teams, they're going to need good facilities to get the teams ready. We do know with the World Cup that Los Angeles is going to be the base for the national team, so that's a huge obligation. And there's going to be a ton of games, not just here, but I think when you look up on the Western Seaboard, it's going to be very active. So I think this will play a role. The Coliseum will play a role. Obviously, SoFi Stadium is going to be where the games... I know you had a chance to see it. There is no stadium like it in the world. It looks like those science fiction movies you saw when you were a kid. It's come to life. So Los Angeles is going to be the epicenter. There's the final's not here, but I think it's going to leave a lasting impression about how important this city is for a quality, successful World Cup here.
We're going to have to finish talking about the fans, obviously the most important part of any kind of sporting event. And there's a very special part of the stadium just down here.
Yes.
Do you want to explain?
This is a standing room only. This is where the 3252 bring their drums.
So
their
why 3252?
Well, allegedly there's 3,252 seats there.
Got you.
Between you and me and our audience, it may not be that exact number, but We're sticking with it. Okay. And it is, that number carries so much clout now as a result. When you say 32-52 here or anywhere in the league or anywhere in Los Angeles, people know what you're talking about. These fans, you come to see the high level, you come to see Sung Hyung Min and Denny Bawanga, but in reality, you come to see the 32-52 as well.
So that's all well and good, but what if I come back and I want to get in there? How easy is it to get a ticket? Let's say that I land at LAX and I go, do you know what? I want to go and see what Max has been telling me about how easy or difficult is it to get those tickets.
I don't think you can get a ticket, but if you walk up there, they will make room for you.
Really?
They will say, I mean, obviously to a certain point, if there's some room, there's a seat, there's usually a couple seats available, they'll get you in there. Okay. And then you'll be able to, but if you go in there, you better be ready to chant, to sing, to go horse, to bang a drum, because they take it very seriously. That is the cadence of the club. And if you're in there, no idle hands.
Okay. And the rest of the stadium to get tickets, what's it like?
You go on online. It's a hot ticket. There's no doubt about it. But we encourage people to always want to come. And if there's a ticket to be had, you can certainly find it. And we saw the Field Club and the Sunset Deck and the Founders. There's even more great venues on the other side of the stadium. I know we have a certain amount of time, but there's something for everyone here. Whether you are a diehard fan, whether you just want to relax in the corner and be quiet, it's all here.
Right. While you were talking there, I've just been trying to work something out. 3252.
Oh, boy.
Added together makes?
I was told there was no math, but
okay.
It's 12.
Okay.
The 12th man.
Uh-huh.
They've won us a lot of games. They put it over the top. It's daunting for visitors. I think when we won our MLS Cup trophy, there was a penalty shootout. It was in that direction history was made. They made their voices heard. So that's important. That was our greatest moment. We've added a lot of trophies since 2018. In 8 years, we're always either winning trophies or in a final. And I don't think that's going to differ. And I expect more trophies to be added to our list of accomplishments there.
It's been amazing to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Great.
There's a couple of things I need to do before we end our conversation, if that's okay. Number one, I need a bit of local lingo, please. Something that, if we were to come to LA, something that sets us apart from tourists. You know what I mean? So you go, oh, Rob, he's definitely from LA. He's lived here because he knows that. What is that thing for you?
Well, within the game?
Yeah, why not? Well, speak like a local.
Okay, well, but 32-52, they have a lot of chants. They have one that says, jump for LA Football Club, Olé. Olé, and then they jump side to side. So can you remember that? Jump for LA Football Club.
Yeah, okay,
and then we have to go arm in arm and do the hump. Yeah, exactly. Go. Ready? So jump for LA Football Club.
Olé. Olé.
Now go. Oh, and now the other way. Oh, you may not have to do this on the street, but in the stadium you'll look pretty.
Okay, good. I like that. I'll be out of breath though. I don't think I'll do that many times.
If you're in the third, if you want to sit there, you're gonna have to do that the whole time.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. And the other thing is, while you're here, as someone who lives locally, can you give us your one tip? So either that be a restaurant, a bar, a certain area, where do you think people should head to?
I got you. It is well documented with Anthony Bourdain and so many other places. It's not far from here. Just as the crow flies north, Koreatown has a cornucopia of wonderful dining places, mostly Korean, but there's a lot of other places. You have a Korean barbecue. I suggest you sit down there with a big group of friends, get your BBQ on, get nice and full, have a nice refreshing beverage, come out to the game right afterwards. Koreatown first, BMO Stadium afters.
Max, it's been an absolute privilege. Thank you so much. It's been amazing. Thanks for showing us around.
Appreciate it. Come back anytime.
Now, you may have got a sense in this episode that there's a lot to visit in LA when you come, but not everything is as close as you might think. One of the big pieces of advice I always say when anyone's going to LA is make sure you think hard about where you're going to stay, because that can make all the difference between getting to that place that you want to go and see and, well, quite frankly, not. Luckily for us, we found exactly that with the Hilton Los Angeles Airport Hotel. It's just about a 10-minute drive from the airport itself, but then within an hour of all the best bits of the city. Whilst we stayed there, we got to know General Manager Jeff Raganese really well. We're pretty much best friends now, if I'm honest with you. And we sat down with him for a chat about what it's like to run a hotel in a city that seems to be the centre of the sporting universe right now. Jeff, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. What is it like being the person that runs a hotel at what feels like the centre of the sporting world?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And you know, it's an exciting time for LA, and it's a really exciting time for the Hilton Los Angeles Airport. You know, it's great because we've got so much going on, as you know, right? We have FIFA coming up. We've got the Super Bowl. We have the NBA All-Star team. We have NCAA regionals. We have, of course, the Olympics in 28. And beyond that, by the way, we are candidate cities for maybe the men's rugby in 31 and the women's FIFA in 31. So it's really, really an exciting time for right now. And it just can't be a better place to be right now. We're literally 2 miles from all the action, Intuit Dome, SoFi Stadium, Kia Forum. It's all right here. So it's really, really an exciting time.
When we talk about, especially when we were looking at coming to LA, we were looking about where we were going to be in terms of those massive sporting venues. The location of where it is compared to like the SoFi and all those things is just, it couldn't get much better apart from if you were sleeping right next to the field already, could you?
Yeah, no, it's again, as I said, I think it's about 2 miles east of us. And you know, the infrastructure, I think, will get better over the next few years. It's very walkable.
Yeah.
It's really a convenient walk. I know that there's a lot of the hotels, Metro, even SoFi, Intuit, all the different facilities over there are looking at how do we get people from the hotels over there with, you know, buses and things like that to make it more convenient. But no, you just can't beat the location to those facilities. It's excellent.
You must be really looking forward to the World Cup, because obviously it must be great having people from all over the country, but getting all those people that are going to come from all over the world, they'll land here, they'll go and see a match, and then they might be following the team to another part of America the next day. That must be brilliant.
Yeah, that's a great point, because, you know, we're hosting a men's match, right, June 12th. You know, we're going to have 8 matches here in SoFi, I believe it is. And one of the things we're working with now is, you know, Dallas, Kansas City, Seattle. How do we attract those people that are going to those cities for games? And how do we get them to come to LA, since they're in the country or in close to us, to be able to see all the other great things that are in LA? It's not just about FIFA. It's about, you know, Disney, Universal, Hollywood, so much to see. So, yeah, no, it's exciting.
And, of course, it feels like it might be a while away now, but as we're recording this, but it's soon going to be the Olympics. And that's going to be a challenge in of itself.
Yeah, the Olympics are a whole other, you know, animal, right? Because it spreads so much further than just FIFA does, you know, around the area. I don't know if you know, by the way, our building was built in 1984 for the Olympics, in the 1984 Olympics, which is kind of a cool thing to, you know, it was built for the 1984 Olympics, and here we are again in 28, going to be a part of the Olympics again, which is really kind of exciting.
Which one of the events are you looking forward to the most? I don't know if you're probably meant to say that, but have you got a personal thing you're looking forward to?
You know what? I will enjoy all the sports. They don't have pickleball
not yet.
In the Olympics yet. I play a lot of pickleball, so once they get pickleball, I'll be really excited. No, but actually all the sports will be fun to watch.
I didn't expect you to say pickleball.
I love it. I grew up playing ping pong, then racquetball, a lot of squash, a ton of tennis. About 14 months ago, I picked up pickleball over here in El Segundo at a rec park, just a pickup game, and I've been addicted. I probably play 4 or 5 days a week.
What's it? How is it competitive? What's it like for you?
It's very competitive. Yeah. I mean, it's.
Is it not competitive until you start playing?
No, it's competitive. No, it's a lot of great players out there, men, women, you know, everything, and it's fast action. It's a lot of fast hand movement. It's a good workout. I love it.
Yeah. Did you bring in the DC competitiveness to this part of the?
You know what? I didn't play it in DC. I played tennis, and I just, you know, started playing here. Trust me, there's a lot of competitive people out there. So a lot of people that are more competitive than I am.
Okay. And is it one of those sports that is growing here in particular? Is it something you start, as soon as you start doing it, you start noticing other people doing it?
Tremendously. In fact, they've got a lot of indoor facilities that are just opening up within maybe a 10-mile radius of here. Mm-hmm. I play outdoors primarily, but it is really a sport that's really, really picking up.
It's like that, and paddle just seem to be everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, I keep hearing a lot about paddle. I haven't tried it yet, but I'd love to, again, any kind of racket sport, I'd love to try.
If you're coming to stop at the Hilton and you want to play a game of pickleball or paddle, can they ask for you?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, if they beat me, I'll give them a free room for one night.
Oh, really?
You can put that on there.
Okay, we'll have that. We can sort that out. And if someone does do that, let us know and we'll mention it on the next podcast.
Absolutely.
Jeff, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much for sorting this out for us. It's been amazing, so thank you.
Well, great. Well, thank you again for having me. By the way, we have a little bit of a treat for your listeners, for any sporting event that's coming out. And candidly, coming out to LA in general, once the podcast goes live, you know, we'll have a link that you'll put on there. 10% off of our rates for your listeners, really for any reason, not just sporting events, anything that they want to do coming out here, sporting, FIFA, beaches, whatever it might be. we'd love to have him here, stay with us.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for that. Well, we'll stick that in the podcast notes. So Perfect. If you click on there, we'll go from there. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Cheers.
Nice to have you.
Do not say we don't treat you here on Tour with Sport 24. 10% off your rooms at the Hilton Los Angeles Airport exclusively for you just by using the code that is in the episode notes. Now, given that we're so close to the SoFi and the Rams were playing at home, we thought, while we're in LA, we've got to go and do this. We had to head back for a game day, and it did not disappoint. So one of the special things about coming to an NFL game is always going to be the tailgate, and they don't come much better than this. This is the Rams version of the tailgate right outside the SoFi Stadium. Let's go have a look around. Can you explain to someone who's never been to an NFL game what's going on here?
It's going to be loud. This is our tailgate. This is where we have a great time prior to going into the stadium, and then we prepare ourselves to cheer on the Rams.
So how early does this start then? Because I get the feeling that people have been here a while.
I think it's 5 hours prior to the game. Yes.
They're even here before that.
Yes.
So people even line up like at midnight to make sure they get in, like they're first ones to get in.
So people come from all around Los Angeles or wherever the game's taking place, wherever they're watching the NFL.
This guy right here, he's from Seattle, and he's a Rams fan on Facebook, and I saw him and I invited him over to our tailgate.
It feels like you say there that it's just a proper community event.
Absolutely. I looked out because we're called Ramley for a reason. I looked online, part of the Rams group. I said, I'm coming to my first game. She said, oh, we'll take care of you.
So everyone just gets together and just enjoys themselves, basically.
Yes, we invite everybody, whether you're opposing team fan or not, whether you're from a different country, we wanna invite you to our tailgate and show you what Ramley is.
How do you think this compares to other teams in the league?
Well, I haven't been to any away game, as many away games as she has. However, LA Rams, we do it the best. Tailgates, I haven't seen anybody else on the ones I have gone to do it like we do.
Why are the Rams so special?
Well, they were here in LA when I was a kid. My family followed them, my brothers, and here I am. Been a fan for over 50 years.
The tailgate is amazing.
Yes, they are. Oh, I love it. And I have my sons, my granddaughter, my beautiful niece. So it's a family affair for us when it comes to the Rams.
It's awesome. Everyone's out here having a good time, ready for the game, ready for Rams win.
The thing that I find interesting is if you've never been to an American sports event before and you came here, you would never expect it.
Yeah, I mean, they built this stadium, about 5 years ago? And every time you come out here on a Sunday, you get this kind of atmosphere. It's a great experience.
What time did you get here?
Today we got here. I think they opened this up about 4 hours before the game. So it's not as crazy as some NFL teams can be. So I know tailgating can open up really early, but they do this about 4 hours before the game.
Why are the Rams so special?
The Rams are special because they were gone. They came back. We needed a pro team back in LA. We're going on 8 years back now. The fan base was thin, but you can see now that it's growing, completely growing. And LA needed this, and this is what we got, man. The LA Rams are en route to get another Super Bowl win. Despite that tragic loss in Philadelphia last week, we're back on track today. We're going to take those Colts out.
Who's house?
Rams house!
Whose house?
Rams house!
Whose house?
Rams house!
Rams house, baby. That's what we're here for.
What keeps you coming back?
Not just the team, the atmosphere. We have a lot of friends that we've made here in the, you know, in the pink parking lot, which is the tailgate spot. And it just keeps growing. You know, you can't beat it. You can't beat it. Otherwise, I'd be at home doing housework, so we'd rather be here.
Why is LA the center of the sporting universe?
Well, consider what we have. We have two pro football teams. We have two pro basketball teams. We have our hockey teams. We have USC Trojans here. Then we kind of have the UCLA Bruins bringing up the rear. The Kings, you know, not too far. We have Anaheim, where we have the Angels. We have the Ducks and all that good stuff. So you can't go wrong. You could pick one and stick to it, or pick a couple and take them to the max.
It's a real shame about the stadium, though, isn't it? It could be better.
Well, I don't know how much better it can be, you know? Maybe a little AC in certain spots, but we're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. We've done phenomenal so far. You know, the family ownership of the Rams and the Chargers have put it all together nicely, so I've gotten to see from the ground up, and it's phenomenal. As you can see, there's more development, and I hope that they're putting it together in a wise way.
Come on, vuela el corazón cuando nos viene.
So that was an example of a tailgate. It was absolutely amazing. We're off into the match now. As always, you can watch all the biggest games from the NFL all the way to Super Bowl live on Sport 24. So that is it for this episode of On Tour with Sport 24 from here in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for watching. Don't forget, episodes like Chicago, Sydney and Milan are just waiting for you. Subscribe on your favourite podcast provider and watch us on YouTube as well. We'll see you soon. We'll